Think, Susie, can we sing the first song and maybe if Susie could read, sort of do a super read of the words before you sing each line. We're going to be singing, "Come, now is the time to worship." It's a bit late to say stand if you are able, so please sit down now. Skills. As you probably know, Jane's subject, the parable of the talents, is about money in its context, because a talent was simply a large sum of money in those days, and it's just a coincidence that in English the word talent also means a gift. It's to remind us, of course, that every ability we have should be used for God. And as someone once said to me, it's not your ability, it's your availability that counts. That's a good saying to remember. If it's not our ability, it's our availability that counts. So at the time Moses was leading the children of Israel through the wilderness, God gave them all the instructions that they needed to build his holy wooden box, the Ark of the Covenant, and all the things they needed to cover and protect it. Of course, the craft work, if you're building a box for God, has to be of the highest quality. So the Lord directed Moses to the people to whom he'd given the special ability to do it all. So we're going to read a short Bible reading from the Old Testament about the people who God had chosen. So it's in Exodus chapter 35, and I'm just going to read a few verses about two or three chaps with odd names who God had given special abilities and gifts to. So Moses said, Exodus 35 and verse 30, "Then Moses said to the Israelites, 'See, the Lord has chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah, and he's filled him with the Spirit of God, with wisdom and understanding, with knowledge, and with all kinds of skills to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver, and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all sorts of artistic crafts. And he's given both him and his assistant, Aholiab, son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, the ability to teach others. He's filled them with skill to do all kinds of work as engravers, designers, embroiderers in blue, purple and scarlet yarn and fine linen, and weavers, all of them skilled workers and designers. So Bezalel, Aholiab, and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given skill and ability to know how to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary are to do the work just as the Lord has commanded.' Then Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and every skilled person to whom the Lord had given ability and who was willing to come and do the work. They received from Moses all the offerings that the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings morning after morning." I think that's a lovely story about the community, the church, coming together, the whole people of God, everybody using their skills and abilities. So I guess the question is, I wonder what skills and abilities do we have? Do you think God could use you, or do you think he couldn't use you? I hope we all realize we're all unique. God made you, and only you will do for the purpose for which he has designed you. So I thought we'd have a daft couple of minutes now while we find out what we can do. I did think of bringing a football. I was trying to teach our young people the other day how to flick a football over your shoulder from a standing start. Which is a bit difficult, but I can do it sometimes. But I had a practice just before I came at home, and it was fairly clear that I've lost some of my skill, and I probably have hit somebody in the face. So I haven't brought a football. For you two young lads, I do have... Do you want a couple of sponge balls? If they fancy to... throw them up in the air, or alternatively to do a bit of keepy-uppy, they're welcome. Does anybody fancy their skills with a table tennis bat? To see how... I've got plenty of bats, if, you know, anybody... Come on, Jane. You can have it there. There you are. Just keep bouncing it in the air. Yes, excellent. That's what we want to see, people's talents. While they're doing that, if you have a talent that you can reveal to your neighbour, please do. You know, if you're double jointed and can waggle your thumb somehow, or if you can waggle your ears maybe, or if you can put your lower lip over your nose. I once saw an old farmer do that. Or if you can put your knee behind your neck. I once saw somebody... Yes, Jenny? Oh, jolly good. Yes, excellent. I once saw a chap at the Edinburgh Festival put his knee behind his neck. But Anyway, just as the question really is, are we learning and acquiring and putting to use the skills God has given us? Physical, mental, and spiritual skills. And another time maybe we'll look at more useful skills. The Sunday school has been memorizing all the books of the Bible in order. When our kids were young, I gave them £1 if they could recite all the books of the Bible in order. Have to be a bit more than that nowadays, I think. But we're going to sing a song. I looked up and thought, do I know any songs about skill? So we're going to try one. And there are some actions to it. So I'll play through it once and then I'll see if I can teach you the actions. We'll turn to worship with songs, three songs. In the third one, we'll have the collection, please. So we're going to start with I See the King of Glory. you, Father, for these gifts that have been given by your people, from them, but originally from you. And we thank you for all you give us in all our lives, and especially through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let's pray for the children as they leave for Sunday school. Lord, we just really ask that you would bless the teachers very much this morning, and that you would bless the children, that they might really enjoy what's going on. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, we'll have some... thank you. We'll have some brief intercessory prayers now. I'm sorry, we're going to overrun on time this morning to due to unforeseen circumstances, but... Father, we come before you in prayer for your people. We pray for our church, and we bring before you the pastoral vacancy, and we just look forward to unity and blessing in as we pray about it this afternoon, as we talk about it next week. I pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us in our search for a new pastor. And, of course, that you will bless Alistair and Eunice and Susie, who served us faithfully for so long. We bring before you the special needs of the day. We thank you for the life of Harold Jinks, and just pray that you'll be with us ahead of his funeral on Tuesday, the 17th of February. We just bring before you very much George Bayliss, and just ask that you would really surround him and surround Kay with your love and your tremendous warmth, and Lord, give them both an awareness of you, perhaps deeper than they've ever had before. I just ask that very especially. We bring before you Margaret Thompson and her husband, and just ask that you would continue to bless both of them. And we bring before you those who are involved in surgery or have had surgery. I pray that Betty Sturck will continue her recovery, that you bless Lou Farry. And we bring before you anyone else who's on our hearts at this time. We bring before you our church, our community. We bring before you our nation and the world. We bring before you every need that is on our hearts. And we ask all these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'm going to invite Stu to read the parable of the talents for us. And then he'll invite Jane up to speak.
Just move this NIV, because I love NIVs in colour. Right, it's Matthew 25, verses 14 to 29. A parable, the bags of gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more bags. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. and the colour changes now in the Bible. Then the man who had received one bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you have put my money on the deposit of with the bankers, and you have still got a repay, so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and those and abundance. Whoever does not have, even when they have, will be taken from them. It'll be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Sorry for the little trippings up there. Lord, I bring Jane to you, our sister, a fellow worshipper of you, Lord. I pray that her service will be enlightening to us, but also we will share fellowship and she will share our fellowship and see that we're not really scary people. We're Christians on a journey. The journey may be different for everybody. And I just pray that we all leave here feeling enlightened. So I just ask you to bless Jane when she comes here. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. No, you're not scary. You're not scary. You look good to me. So my name's Jane Henderson. I was last here 15 years ago. And I remember it because my car, I managed to leave the lights on in my car. And somebody had to jump start me to get me going again. But the reason I was here 15 years ago was at that point I was candidating for ministry. And Alistair had been asked to allow me to take a service. So one of the things we expect people who are candidating to do is lead a service in a church that is not their church. And somebody observes you. So he was sat at the back writing notes and I took the service. So it's been a long time coming, but it's so good to be back here amongst you. And my role is as a regional minister, as part of the regional association in the Northwest. I'm sure that you're familiar with my colleague, Phil Jump. 3 years ago, Phil went on a sabbatical, came back, and we were all thinking, he's not going to tell us he's leaving, is he? And thankfully he didn't, but he said, Jane, I think you need to step up in co-leadership of the team with me. And that will free me up to do some other things as well. So I've been co-leader of the Northwestern Baptist Association alongside Phil for the last 3 years. I tend to take on some of the more national, the contact with a national organisation, the Baptist Union, so liaise with them. And roughly speaking, although there's lots of overlap, I look after the ministry and Phil looks after mission, but there is a lot of overlap. And in terms of the region, my responsibility, if you like, my link, are churches in Cheshire and bits of Manchester. And we've got Tim Presswood. I don't know whether you know Tim, but Tim is retiring in the summer. We won't be able to replace him, so I'll be taking on some more churches in there. So that's who I am. Oh, maybe you don't want to, I don't know, do you want to know about me as a person? I live in Poynton. I'm married to David. I've been married for 30-something years. Two, three, I can't remember. Three, 33 years. There we go. Work it out in my head. I have two sons, Dominic and Cameron. Dominic is 26. He lives in Basingstoke and works for a small tech startup company down there. My younger son, Cameron, if you've got any spare prayers, please pray for my son, Cameron. He graduated last summer with a first class honours degree from Liverpool in Spanish, French and Mandarin, and he can't find a job. The job market for graduates is terrible. Places only want people with experience. How do you get experience? It's the same amongst all his cohort. So please pray for our young people and particularly those graduates coming out. Oh, and we also have a cat, three-legged cat called Trixie. So you're in a period of pastoral vacancy, as always has already been referred to a number of times. And it was really fascinating this morning. I'm always interested when I'm just asked to come and preach and somebody else is leading a good part of the service, because all I gave George was the Bible reading and a couple of videos which we're going to watch. And it fascinates me the way the Holy Spirit brings it all together, because George, your bit this morning, so the Exodus passage was absolutely spot on, and that talking about the skills and the gifts in the congregation, I thought, yeah, you've given me a gift there and a way in, because my question was going to be, in this pastoral vacancy, you have come together as a church, you've got lots of gifts in your church, and so I was going to ask you a question about you and your gifts. So I'm not so interested in whether you can bat a ping pong ball up and down. Clearly you noticed I wasn't very good at it, or kick a football over your shoulder. But I think there are lots of gifts in this room that will keep this church going during this pastoral vacancy. Now, I'm not going to ask you to say what your gift is, because everybody goes, oh, no, I'm not saying anything. So what I'm going to do is ask you to name some gifts from other people in the room, because that's easier, isn't it? It's easier to say, well, I think I recognise that gift. So just shout out if you recognise that somebody in the room has a gift to offer in this time of pastoral vacancy. You might already have seen them exercising it. Gift of praying. Who's got a gift of praying in this room? Ah, right, okay. So there's a bit of mutual thing going on there. Everybody's got the gift of praying. You're a praying church. That is so good to hear. Anything else? Singing, yeah. I was amazed at how many you've got in your worship team. That's fantastic. Thank you. Caring, okay. Who's particularly good at caring in this room? Oh, brilliant. Yeah. Fabulous. So pastoral care is good in this church. That's really good to hear. Are you going to say something? Anything anybody else wants to offer? Loving each other. And that's, for me, the starting point of it all, isn't it? You know, if we haven't got a church that loves each other, then what kind of witness do we have to the world? If we can't love each other, how can we love the world and the community? So, yeah, brilliant. Thank you. Outreach. Thank you. Yeah. Excellent, yeah. Fabulous. So there is experience and expertise in the room at how a church would reach out and serve in their community. That's brilliant. That's really good to hear. Because one of the things that I love about going and visiting different churches in the region is that I get to hear those stories and I get to be encouraged. Because to be honest, being a regional minister, sometimes it's a tough place to be. And I'm so encouraged when I hear those positive stories from churches. And I go to the next church and I go, oh, I was with Sandbach Baptist Church last week. And I noticed, and then I will tell them the stories. And that encourages them. And then that kind of carries on. So I love that part of my job where I get to meet churches and church leaders and hear stories about what God is doing in and through them. And sometimes my involvement with churches does arises because of some issue that they might be having. And sometimes it's practical to do with governance or buildings or people. But the contact with churches that excites me most is when a church has a missional opportunity, but they don't know how to go forward with it. They might have identified a need in their community that they long to respond to, but they just do not know how to do it. Maybe they've seen an area that needs reaching out to, that might need a pioneering approach because traditional church isn't going to work. And again, they might not know how to do that. Now, obviously, the main reason I get excited about those kinds of issues is because it's tangible evidence of God at work. It's evidence that God is stirring something, either in the church or in the community, and sometimes both. But I'm also excited about these situations because they present another kind of opportunity as well. An opportunity for the church and for Christians to witness to the unity of the Spirit. They provide an opportunity for perhaps one church who do have some expertise and experience or resource in a particular area to get alongside and support another in God's work, perhaps in a wider way. And that linking, if you like, is exciting for me, and it's why I work for the local association. Because we're not an organisation that is separate to our churches, but we are an association of our churches. So these situations give us an opportunity to encourage churches to be associating with one another. And we'll come back to that in a few minutes. I'm not sure whether I'm doing the right thing. There we go. But let's just focus in on our scripture today, our gospel reading. So this parable that we've heard follows on from the story of the 10 bridesmaids. And both are about being ready for the time when Jesus will come again. But today's reading is particularly about what we do while we're waiting for that time. And at the end of chapter 25, it's a recounting of Jesus telling his disciples that whenever they do something for someone in need, they're doing something for him. And throughout the gospel books, Jesus talks much about how we are to live our lives and what we are to do while we await his return. Indeed, when asked the direct question, "What must I do to gain eternal life?" Jesus answers, "Sell all your possessions, give to the poor, and follow me." He doesn't say, "Actually, it doesn't matter what you do, just believe in me." In fact, the first answer he gives to the question is to follow the Ten Commandments. And if you read those, seven of them are about how we treat other people. So in our passage today, Jesus tells this story about the master entrusting his servants with resources. The NIV uses bags of gold. The older versions use talents, which was a measure of money. I'm going to use the term resources because I want to kind of make it a little bit more generic. So he entrusts servants with his resources, and he entrusts different servants with different resources. One has five, one has two, and another one has one. And then he goes away for some time, and when he returns, he asks his servants to account for how they have cared for his resources. The first two have put their resources to good use and have doubled their value. You know, I wasn't brought up in a church-going household. I came to faith through my husband, actually, when I was 26. But my nan attended an Anglican church all her life, was a very faithful member of that. And I can remember each year she and a number of members of the congregation were given £10 out of the church kitty. And the idea was they had to take that £10, their talent, that was what they were told, this is your talent, and you've got to go away and at least double it. Well, my nan's gift was influence and persuasion, because she used to come to me and my mom and go, there's the £10, what are you going to do this year? And we generally did manage to do something. I do wonder sometimes if that might be a good idea to do in our churches again, just to see what happens. So the first two servants double the talent that they're given, and the master is joyful and congratulates them and rewards them. But the third has hidden his talent away and simply brings it back as it was given to him. And to deflect from what he's done, he blames the master, claiming he's frightened of him. But the master sees straight through him and sees exactly what's going on. This servant couldn't be bothered to make any effort with what was given to him. He just hid away the money and got on with his life, knowing it would be there when his master needed it, but not making any effort to do anything with it. So what are we to make of this story? Well, as with most Bible stories, there is so much there, isn't there? We could pick on. But because I'm a Baptist preacher, I've got 3 points. So, could you put the first one up for me? First point I want to make or draw out. The kingdom can grow out of the smallest of resources. We all know the story of the mustard seed. When talents and resources are put to use for the kingdom, they will grow. When we use our resources with a desire to be obedient, a desire to please God, then this will generate value for the kingdom. And our using the gifts and the talents and resources God gave us brings God joy. It shows that we are good and trustworthy. Next one. The second one that I'd want to point out is that the resources are there to be used. Stewardship is a big responsibility. It's not just about protecting those resources for a rainy day. It's about using them wisely and well. But they are there to be used for the kingdom now. Notice that in the parable, the master goes away, and it says, the verse 16, I think it says, at once, the one who'd received the 5 talents went off and traded with them. At once. Now, I'm not suggesting that we should be completely irresponsible and run down the church bank account so that there's nothing in it. But if we have resources that are not earmarked specifically for anything, then maybe we should pray about what God might want us to use them for. I know of lots of churches, actually, with money in the bank just in case, or for some future situation that might never happen, or even for something that they think they've been thinking that they will do, but that was 30 years ago, and it's still in their mindset. Yeah, that money's for that. Well, you haven't done anything in 30 years, so. I think the message of this passage, and the previous one actually, about the bridesmaids, is that the resources are to be used now. We shouldn't wait around. And then my third one is that much is expected of those who have resources. If God has blessed us with resources, and I'm thinking financial, physical, intellectual, practical, then he's done that because he believes that we are capable of using them to grow his kingdom. The passage says that each servant was given things according to their ability. So if we've been given things, God really believes we are trustworthy and good and we can do something with it. We need to remember that these resources, including our intellect and our gifts, as well as our money, individual and corporate, belong to God. We are stewards of those resources. They are not ours. We are not owners of them. And God expects us to do something with our resources. It feels to me that this is actually a gospel imperative. Our very salvation depends on it. And I recognise that's quite a claim. But if you follow on reading from this passage, we get to the one where it talks about the king sorting the sheep from the goats. And we note that the criteria for that sorting is whether people have responded to the needs of others as if they were Jesus. And our passage that we've read today is also quite brutal, actually, about those who do not use the master's resources wisely. That final verse that we heard, verse 30, says, "As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's quite a sobering thought, isn't it? And for those of us who are blessed with the master's resources, we will be blessed with an abundance when we use them wisely. But again, there is no indication that this is an abundance for ourselves. The abundance is still entrusted to us as stewards to do more with for furthering the kingdom. When we prove ourselves trustworthy, we are trusted with more. When we are given more, then more is expected of us. So what does this mean for us? Well, I just want to start by reminding us all that we are in a covenant relationship. In fact, we're in a number of covenant relationships. First and foremost with God. It's a two-way relationship, a covenant relationship. God blesses us with resources, but actually he expects something in return. He expects that we recognize that we are part of his mission to transform the world, and he gives us the resources to help us do that. But we are also in covenant relationship with others. You here are in covenant relationships with each other as part of Sandbach Baptist Church. You're part of the community of Sandbach. But you are also part of the wider Baptist community, regionally through the Northwest Baptist Association and nationally through Baptist Together, or Baptist Union as it used to be called, as well as others across the world. And with those covenant relationships comes responsibility from all parties. We as a collective of churches have a commitment to you as a church. So the other churches in our regional association and in Baptist Together have a commitment to you as Sandbach Baptist Church. And equally, you have a commitment to other churches. And I want to thank you for your commitment both to the churches in the region and to those across our nation. Because of your generosity and willingness to share your gifts and resources, we can provide much needed support and encouragement in some of the most difficult places and spaces. But as a Baptist movement, at this time, we are at a critical point. So I just want to play a video for you for a moment.
Hi, I'm Hayley and I'm part of Baptist Together. I want to begin with a heartfelt thank you. Your church's giving to Home Mission makes an incredible difference. Together, we are planting new churches. We are supporting ministers, resourcing chaplaincies, and providing the help churches need to stay healthy and mission focused. Because of your giving, We have national teams offering safeguarding advice, legal guidance, and a voice in the public square. We have regional associations walking alongside ministers and churches. We have grants that are enabling pioneer projects in communities across the UK, from Hartlepool to Poole, from Swansea to Jaywick. But right now, as a Baptist family, we are at a critical point. Home mission giving has not kept up with the growing needs of our movement. Without increased income, we will soon face difficult decisions, including reducing some of the vital support that underpins healthy churches and helps us to respond to God's call to mission. We know that these are challenging economic times, and we know your church already gives generously. However, we believe that together we can take a small but significant step that will make a big difference. That's why in 2026, we're inviting every Baptist church to give plus 1% for home mission, an increase of just 1% on what you're currently giving now. If every church takes this step, we can continue the support we currently provide. We can look to train future ministers ready for tomorrow's missional needs. We can continue to release more pioneering projects and fresh expressions of church. We can strengthen the support for ministers, chaplains, and churches across the UK. Friends, this is not just fundraising. This is partnership in God's mission. Will you join us for plus 1%?
You may not know this, but we have a subscription amount of around £5 per person for a church to be a member of the Baptist Union, with all that that offers. And alongside that, we've long had an expectation that churches would give voluntary 5% of their income to home mission, which tops up those subscriptions, and it allows vital work and support to continue, particularly for churches in marginalised communities or areas of deprivation. But that 5% figure is not being realised, and we've recognised that many churches are giving generally, but maybe not always to Baptists. And we recognise that only Baptists give to Baptists. So I apologise for having to come and bring that message to you. I don't have other people I can go to say, please support our Baptist churches. But we're simply asking that this year, churches commit to an extra 1% of their income on top of whatever they give now. And if every church did this, it would make a huge difference. And we know it's hard because there are so many worthy causes. And it was really good to hear about the commitment that you've made to the project in Albania. And every church has those that are really, you know, and it's really important that we recognise God's work in other countries. But I look around our region and I see God at work through so many of our wonderful Baptist churches. And I want to be able to say to Mark, who is pioneering amongst the poorest people in North Wales, that yes, we can continue to invest in your vital ministry. Or to Ed, who is ministering on an ex-council estate in Chester, yes, we can continue to fund the great work you're doing to help keep young people off the streets. Or Phil in North Manchester, yes, you can stay where you are, supporting and feeding the lost and the hungry. We can do all that and more through your generosity in sharing your resources. So I've got four things that I'm going to ask of you to think about in terms of your sharing of your resources. You've given me a fantastic into this because you've said that one of the gifts of this church is prayer. You are a praying church, which is great. Can I have the... So firstly and most importantly, through prayer, please pray for our churches and our pioneers across the region, particularly those in really difficult environments, in places where people are hard to reach or people have so much need. I know lots of churches who have grown hugely in numbers, but the people that are coming are ex-addicts or are receiving benefits and are not able to put money in to support the ongoing ministry of that church. But God is at work there. So whether you know the churches by name or not, whether you know the ministry or not, please, please pray for them. That's the first one. Secondly, perhaps if you don't already, you might partner with a church in a different part of our region so that you can support and encourage one another. And the prayer obviously comes into that. Let me know if you'd like to do that. And I can put you in touch with a church who would benefit from that. And hopefully you would benefit too. And thirdly, think about what gifts and skills you've got in your congregation that you might bless the wider Baptist community with. I love it. Sometimes I get people who contact us as a regional association say, I'm just about to retire and I'm thinking about what God wants me to do in my retirement. And I go, yes, let's have a coffee. Tell me about what you've got, what skills you've got, what have you done in your working life? And we can tap into that. So have a think, if any of you sat there and you've got gifts and skills, whether that's in governance or finance or practically in some way. You might even be happy to preach or lead occasionally in a church that doesn't have a minister. And half of the churches in the Northwest do not have a minister. You might have some learning to share about your experiences running your community space, your Oasis Centre. That is such a gift. We've got other churches just longing to do something like that, but they don't know where to start. That would be wonderful if you came to me or one of my colleagues and said, we've got some learning here. How can I help? And fourthly, please think about your financial giving, particularly at this time, maybe during your pastoral vacancy. Might you be able to be more generous during this time? Maybe as a church through home mission, or maybe as an individual. I don't want to take anything away from individual giving to the church. But perhaps you feel that on top of your regular giving, you might like, for the price of one coffee a month, £5 a month, you might want to bless another church or a pioneer or a project in our region. We have a scheme in NWBA called Count Me In, which is aimed at individuals, and you can give a one-off gift or you can sign up to monthly giving. No amount is too small, and we guarantee that every penny of that goes direct out to another church or project. It doesn't cover any of our administration costs. If that's of interest, then please go onto our NWBA website and there's information about it there, or if you can't find it, come back to me. The leaders of the church have got my email address. You know, it's always difficult coming to a church, to talk to a church about money. And it is important, but it isn't just about money. It's about all of our resources. So my prayer is that this church will be like the servant that was blessed and entrusted with the 5 talents. I pray that this would be a place where God gives in abundance because you are good and trustworthy. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope the Lord has given to you to those of you he has called. You are his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. Let me pray. May the light of the Lord shine in and through each one of you here. May you be inspired and encouraged to seek justice, to love kindness, and to humbly walk with the Lord. May you be salt and light in this community and beyond, bringing all you are and all you have to the service of the Lord and to his people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And I'm just going to show you, if you want to leave the light off for a moment before we move into communion, a video that we put together in NWBA that just gives you some of the things that we have done together as churches across NWBA in the period kind of 24-25. Worship team now to come forward for our. All right, we're going to go straight into communion because of the time. Okay. I invite stewards. Yeah.
Yes, if the children could come back in, please.
So you. Are you not doing just as I am?
Sorry?
Are you not doing just as I am? Let's invite the stewards to come forward. So let's just still ourselves for a moment as we prepare ourselves for communion. We recognize the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, here in our midst. There is one body and one Spirit, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all people, who is above all and through all and in all. We, the body of Christ, are invited to share in this holy food. Come as you are, not because you have earned the right, but because Jesus has given freely of himself. Come if you know Jesus even a little and want to know him more. Come to encounter again the living bread, the water of life, and the risen and living Lord. And as we prepare ourselves for communion, we pray some prayers. Lord Jesus, we come knowing that in many ways we fail to live a life worthy of your calling. We confess that we often lack humility, gentleness, and patience. We often fail to bear with one another in love, and so break the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We confess now to you, silently, those times when we have failed to be worthy of you. And having confessed, we receive once again your forgiveness, Lord, the undeserved forgiveness that comes from your great love and sacrifice for us. And having received your forgiveness, we give you thanks that you did not leave us to perish, but you gave yourself so that we and all of creation might be transformed. And as we have given thanks, so now we remember the occasion when you met with your friends, people you called sisters and brothers, much like those gathered here today. We remember that on that Passover evening, you shared a meal with your friends, and you took up the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, saying, "This is my body, freely given for you and for the world." We remember that after supper you took up the wine and again gave thanks, saying, "This is my blood, which is freely given to you and to the world, as a new covenant between God and God's people." And so now we too, as your sisters and brothers, share together this meal in remembrance of you. Amen. So we will eat the bread. It's gluten-free, I believe. We will eat the bread as we receive it. And then we will hold on to the drinks, to drink together. We'll hold on to the cups as they come round. Let's drink together in love and fellowship, remembering that Christ died for each one of us. Amen. Let's pray. We have shared this meal together as one body, the body of Christ. Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift to work towards the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. May we be inspired by the Holy Spirit through all we have seen and heard and shared today. In the name of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand as we're able now and sing our final hymn, Living Hope.
To the darkness, the light.
the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.